This is Radio H2O, and I'm Buff Whitman Bradley. Recently, the Board of Directors of the Marin Municipal Water District voted 4-0 to proceed with plans to construct a $100 million desalination plant on San Francisco Bay, in spite of opposition from a great many Marin County residents who believe that Marin doesn't need such a facility to meet its water needs. Opponents, including former MMWD Conservation Director James Fryer, argue that conservation, not desalination, can meet the county's water needs. That the plant, in addition to being far too costly, will contribute to environmental degradation by using huge amounts of energy, and that there are many health risks involved in providing desalinated water from San Francisco Bay. One critic of desal who focuses on community health concerns is Dr. Larry Rose of Mill Valley. For 28 years, Dr. Rose, a physician and epidemiologist, was senior public health medical officer for the California Safety and Health Administration. He's been sounding the alarm about desalination in Marin for some time now, and he's speaking with Radio H2O on the phone today from his home in Mill Valley. Dr. Rose, thanks for talking with Radio H2O.
Yes.
Now, I've heard you speak at a number of forums as well as at board meetings of the Marin Municipal Water District. You paint a pretty dark picture of the health risks posed by the planned desal plant. You don't seem to think that the desalination process will be able to get rid of all the chemicals that would have devastating health consequences. Is that right?
Yes, that is right, particularly when they're drawing the water from the San Francisco Bay.
Now, what kind of contaminants are we talking about?
Well, there's a panoply of contaminants that have been going into the bay, dating all the way back to when they were doing hydraulic gold mining. And, of course, we have the agribusiness pesticide use, and then all of the industrial plants that surround the bay and go on up into the delta.
So all of these chemicals from industrial agriculture and from various manufacturing processes are being dumped into rivers that drain into the bay, yes?
Yes, that's correct. And that's been going on for many, many decades.
Now, are we talking about mercury and selenium and chemicals like that?
Well, a number of industrial chemicals. I can enumerate some of those.
Sure. Why don't you name a few for us so we can get a sense of what we're talking about?
Okay. Well, the ones of greatest concern are, of course, mercury. We've all heard about that. But the other heavy metals as well, which include lead, cadmium, and chromium. And then among the chemicals, the worst are the dioxins and the PCBs, and there are toxic pharmaceuticals that are going into the bay that are of great concern now, pesticides, fertilizer nitrates, solvents, detergents, plasticizers that we've all heard about, like bisphenol A and phthalates, and plastic monomers, and many of these chemicals called volatile organic compounds combine and form rather complex molecules that have not even been tested for toxic effects.
So we know that some of those chemicals have toxic effects, but there are others, you're saying, that might recombine once they're all mixed together in this toxic brew into new chemicals that might have horrendous consequences we don't even know about.
Right, that's correct. There's a vast number of chemicals that have not been tested. As I point out in my paper, there are really 85,000 chemicals that are being used nationally, and 15% of those are in high volume. And many of those were not required to be tested when the laws were passed in the early 70s, and we're still not sure the overall effects. I can enumerate some of the health effects, if you like.
Yeah, I think that would be good. But before we do that, you mentioned your paper. Is that a paper that's about this subject, about desalination of water from the bay?
Yes, I've written two papers. One is called Desalination Technology as a Health Hazard, and the other one is titled Public Health Risks Recklessly Ignored by the Marin Municipal Water District Desalination Plan.
And how can folks get a hold of those papers?
Well, I haven't published them, but I do have them in electronic form. I could send email those to people. they could be requested. I can give you my email address.
Yeah, yes. Why don't you give us that address right now, and we'll remind people of it at the end of the interview.
Okay. It's Larry Rose, M.D., at sbcglobal.net.
All right. Now you were going to enumerate some of the health effects that you're aware of that some of these toxic chemicals have.
Yes, because the one, you know, that we've always been most concerned about in public health are called carcinogens, the ones that cause cancer. But new evidence has arisen about endocrine disruptors, which can cause the effects on a number of, on our immune system, and particularly the endocrine system having to do with reproduction. And those can have effects down to parts per trillion at very, very dilute concentrations. And that was, that's a major concern now, because most of the toxic testing that has been done by the EPA, or required by the EPA, rather, was not done down to those levels for endocrine disruption. So the health effects that we're kind of most concerned with are, you know, production of cancer, or what we call mutagenic effects, where they could set you up for cancer when combined with other exposures. And then the big one are the reproductive effects. And among the reproductive effects that we're really concerned with, there's a vast number, starting with how pregnant women can be affected, the embryo, the fetus, neonatal, you know, newborns, and young children. In addition, there are effects like infertility, increased spontaneous abortions or miscarriages, developmental disorders, birth defects, and then subtle changes in the central nervous system development have been found as well. And many of these were early found in wildlife, and was going into in detail by Theo Colburn, C-O-L-B-U-R-N, and that book is called Our Stolen Future.
Our Stolen Future, that's a well-known book in the environmental movement.
Right.
Now, as I understand it, reverse osmosis is the process used to desalinate water, correct?
Right.
And that works using a filter, basically.
Yes.
And the filter will not filter out all of those toxic particles that you're talking about?
Well, the problem with the filter, the reverse osmosis filter, is that it would filter out most of them, but these filters are unreliable. And I've gotten that from four different papers about the reliability of the whole system. A number of other parts of the system are also tend to fail, but the main one, the heart of the system, is the reverse osmosis filter. It's a plastic, and it is the way they describe it is it can fail. It can, in other words, get minute holes in it when exposed to certain biologic or chemical conditions. And with that, if you don't know exactly when it's going to fail, and if the systems for detecting it are not fail-proof, you're going to get these toxic substances and biologic threats as well into the general water supply.
Now, I would imagine that the Marin Municipal Water District has said, well, of course we're going to have a system in place that will guarantee that if the filter fails, we'll shut it down until it's repaired. Is that right? They've said that?
Yes, but the problem is that the detection is not instantaneous. It takes time for the detection systems to pick up that there is a defect, and in those periods of time, there will be, you know, these toxic and biologic threats will be entering the general water supply.
So it sounds as if the precautionary principle is being utterly disregarded in this case.
Unquestionably, yes, indeed. The other thing that we haven't brought up has to do with the biologic threats.
Well, let's hear about those.
Okay. Well, the bay is, particularly the Marin County Bay waters, have what they, you know, call sewage disposal plants. And two things. One is that you know, those plants are constantly spewing chemicals into the bay, a number of them, even though the sewage is processed. But every year these plants fail, particularly during the rainy season when they get overwhelmed, because the side pipes that where the sewage from the individual houses flows into the general system, they all have, almost all of them have leaks in them. So when the heavy rains fall, the pipes get loaded with water, and it overwhelms the sewage plants, and they start spilling raw sewage. And it happens every year, and that would be a real hazard, because it would contain virulent pathologic organisms such as viruses and bacteria, etc. And that would be a major hazard as well.
Now, in that regard, talk about the placement of the plant on the bay.
Well, they're planning it to place it in San Rafael Bay waters, you know, at the west end of the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And there's within a half mile, there is one sewage disposal plant. But there are others as well that are further away. And I might add about that location that the far side of the west side of the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge is opposite the east side where the Chevron plant is located. And for decades, they've been dumping toxics into the bay. Greenpeace tried to monitor that and actually protested it over 10 years ago, but it continues. And so that's another source of major concern in terms of how close it is to where this plant is going to be located.
There are other desalination plants around the country and around the world, but they aren't located on sites similar to the one proposed by MMWD, isn't that so?
Yes. Generally, they are drawing in ocean water. Like the one that's been most recently put in, it was in Tampa, Florida, but that too, that's had several breakdowns, and unexpected breakdowns. But they're drawing in ocean water, which isn't quite nearly as hazardous as the bay waters, particularly around the San Rafael region of the bay.
So you have expressed your concerns as a public health expert, a medical doctor, a former Cal OSHA official, to the Marin Municipal Water District Board of Directors, and how have they responded to you?
Yes, I've probably brought it up at least three times, and I passed them my papers, and I asked my two papers, and I asked them for response, and it's been ignored, totally ignored.
And do you have any sense of why they're not even acknowledging your contribution to the discussion?
Well, the only response I got was that the first time I brought it up was that they run a pilot plant project and the water is clean and perfectly good. But the pilot plant project, first of all, was a very, very small quantity of water that was being run compared to the 5 to 15 megagallons per day that they plan to do in the big plant. And most important is it was run for slightly less than a year. And these problems with the filters come up, all along, in the first 10 to 15 years. So the pilot plant findings would not be relevant for what would have to expect in the way of failures in the system with longer usage.
So it seems like the MMWD board is determined just to keep plowing ahead no matter what the concerns are. Besides the health issues you raise, as we noted at the beginning, a great many other community members and environmentalists have said, we can meet Marin's current and future water needs by instituting conservation measures. Included among those are former MMWD Conservation Director James Fryer, who's authored a lengthy report to that effect. And yet, the board seems determined to have its desal plant. Whatever the reasons are for that, your contribution to the discussion of desal in Marin is an important one, Dr. Rose. And so I'd like to remind listeners that anyone who wants a copy of your two papers about desalination can email you at larryrosemd@sbcglobal.net.
Good. Yes, I will email those out to anybody that requests it. Right.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Dr. Rose. We'll probably be seeing you at future MMWD board meetings as the grassroots fight against desal and marine goes forward.
Excellent, and thanks for the interview.
And to all the folks listening to this interview, if you want to learn more and to get involved in opposing the proposed $100 million desal plant, contact the Marin Water Coalition at mwcinfo@ymail.com. Thanks for listening.